Once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We thank the Lord for 20 years now. We have been bringing these broadcasts to you, and we praise the Lord for this day, for the radio station, for you, the listener, and for all the prayers and provision over the many years. We are thankful for that. If you have tuned in today for the very first time, we say welcome to you, and we hope you come back each and every Sunday, make this a regular stop on your Sunday schedule. And if you've been with us for many years, we thank you, we appreciate you, and we hope you also tune in each and every Sunday. Today, we're going to be talking about two salvations, the evangelist Philip, one of the original deacons of the New Testament church, goes down to Samaria to preach, and there's two dramatic salvations that take place here because of him. And so we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 8. If you have your Bible there today, turn it to Acts chapter 8, and we'll take up this message here. Well, once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Scatter the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Before we get started with the message today, just want to give you a brief update. What's going on here in Kenya? We're at the end of the rainy season here in Kenya, starting to harvest maize. We've got most of our maize harvested, and so we're very thankful for that. Had good crops, generally speaking, good crops, and we thank the Lord for that. We want to build a school in Makunda Village. That's the primary focus of our prayers right now. We want to build a school, primary school for grades 1 through 8, and also a preschool. And so we want to have 200 to 300 students from Makunda Village. We'll have Muslim students, we'll have Christian students, we'll have students of other faiths. And so we can give them a good education at a reasonable cost, and then also steep it in a Christian environment so they will know Bible stories, they will learn Christian songs, Bible story songs. And so this is our desire, to build this school there in Makunda. And we have 2 acres of land right next to the children's home, between the children's home and the church. And so this will be a good way to transform the village of Makunda, transform it in a rapid way to bring these children in to the school and have them there 5 or 6 days out of the week. And so pray about that. If you want to get involved in that project, we're trusting the Lord for $300,000. And it's going to be a beautiful school, all brick and block construction, beautiful construction, durable for 50 to 100 years. And so if you are interested in that, get in touch with me, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and we can talk about the details of that school construction. Well, today, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 8, and we're going to talk about two salvations of evangelist Philip, who was a deacon in the original New Testament church in Jerusalem. We're going to start in verse 5 and look at these two stories. They're both very dramatic, and it gives an inspiration. If you're not saved out there today, you don't know where you're going to spend eternity. Listen very closely, very carefully, because these two stories will inspire you and they will encourage you to get saved, to pray about your salvation, pray about what you need to do to know that you have the assurance of salvation, and then to move forward on it and take the next step, whatever it shall be. Take the next step so that you can know for sure that you are saved. So in verse 5 in chapter 8, it says, Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken to Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame. And so you notice the preaching of the gospel was done with Philip, and it was accompanied by signs, wonders, and miracles as a testimony or a witness to the power of God. And so that is a hallmark of the New Testament church. and it should be a hallmark of the church in 2025 as we preach the gospel. It should be accompanied by signs, wonders, and miracles, and we believe we serve a supernatural God. And so that is why we talk about signs, wonders, and miracles. It's not just empty talk. It's not just idle talk. Come to Africa, you'll see signs, wonders, and miracles because the people here believe for signs, wonders, and miracles. And so it's part of the gospel here, part of the preaching of the gospel, the sharing of the good news. And so that was what Philip was doing. And so in verse 9, it says, there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery or witchcraft in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries or with his magical arts for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Christ, both men and women were baptized, talking about water baptism. Then verse 13, Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. So I'm going to stop right there and just talk about this man. He was a witch doctor, I guess you could say, a man who practiced the magical arts, the sorcery. And we have a lot of witches here in Kenya. There's a telephone pole right next to the gate at my house. And there's witch doctors that tack their advertising on that telephone pole. And they put on there all of their services, everything that they will pray with you about, everything that they will go into another person's life and try to manipulate that person. Well, the problem with witchcraft is that they're working with the devil. They're working with demons and familiar spirits. And I'm not going to go into all the spiritual warfare and all the entities of the demonic realm right now, but the witch doctor goes deep into the demonic spirit. He goes deep into the demonic kingdom, and he works with familiar spirits that are operating in people's lives. And so therefore, when people bring him trinkets or they bring him pieces of hair or clothing or something from a person they want to control or manipulate, that witch doctor will work with the familiar spirits and cause manipulation, cause sickness, cause in some cases death, cause accidents. All these things happen because the witch doctor manipulates the environment and the circumstances around that person's life that he is praying for. And so ministers of the gospel, we have to deal with witch doctors. We have to be prayed up. We have to be covered with the gospel armor, or the witch doctors could have a potent effect on us, a deleterious effect on us. And so it's very important that you cover me with prayer, cover other missionaries and ministers of the gospel in Africa, India, Asia, places where this kind of thing goes on. Cover your own pastor in the U.S. Pray for him, because there's witch covens and witch doctors in the U.S. as well, but they're not near as prevalent as they are here in Africa, and I don't believe they're as strong either as they are here in Africa. So we have this witch doctor or sorcerer, Simon, and he starts to listen to the gospel, and he starts to watch the signs, wonders, and miracles. And eventually he wants to be baptized, just as the men and women were being baptized as a response to the work of Philip. And so he's baptized. Simon himself was a believer when he was baptized, and he continued to travel with Philip, and he was amazed seeing the signs and the wonders and the miracles. Well, in verse 14, it says, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. Well, if you go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we know that Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and power, that word dunamis, the Greek word dunamis, the word we get dynamite from. Jesus prophesied over the apostles, and he said, you're going to receive power, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem in Judea, in Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. And so Jerusalem has been preached to, Judea has been preached to, and so now they're in Samaria. And so Philip has gone there to preach, and Peter and John have been called down there to also help evangelize this area of Samaria. And Samaria is a place of mixed race of people, mixed culture. They're not Jewish of the 12 tribes of Jews. And so this is an area that is away from the homeland. And just as God calls preachers today, he does it in the very same way. You start out by preaching in your local church, your local neighborhood. Then you go to Judea, which is farther down the road, maybe to another state or another county. Then as you get more experience, more anointing, more obedience, then you are called to Samaria, which is a different culture, different language, maybe a whole different race of people, then to the remotest part of the earth, and that is where we are today. We're in the time of evangelism. We're in the time of the church age. It is time to preach the gospel. That's why I'm on the radio every Sunday. That's why people get radio broadcast ministries. That's why people get television broadcast ministries. That's why people go on mission trips. That's why people publish books on all kinds of subjects relating to the gospel. It's because we are in the evangelistic age. And it's a time of sorrows, looking out on the earth, a time of birth pangs. We're not in Revelation chapter 13. So everything that comes along isn't the mark of the beast. Every little quirk in the medical field isn't the mark of the beast. And so we're not in Revelation in the Great Tribulation, or we're not in the time of the seal judgments or the bowl judgments or any of those judgments. We're in the evangelism age. So take it seriously, brother and sister. Don't sit around with your head in the clouds or your head in the sand or your head in a cave. Don't sit around saying, come Jesus, get us out of this mess. No, Jesus isn't coming. Matthew 24:14, Jesus isn't coming until the gospel is preached to the nations of the earth as a witness to all the nations, and then the end shall come. And so you need to get busy. If you're already a born-again believer, you need to get busy. Get on your knees first. Ask God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? And start trusting God to send you. And when you get to that point where you can really trust God to send you, he'll start to send you out first to Jerusalem, then to Judea, then to Samaria. And then he may send you to Africa, to Asia, to India, to the remotest part of the earth. And so be ready when you start to pray. Well, so John and Peter are coming down to Samaria. And in verse 15, it says, when they had come down, they met these people from Samaria, and they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet the Holy Spirit had not fallen upon any of them. They had only been baptized, that is, water baptized, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so they didn't know about the Holy Spirit. They hadn't been taught about it. My people perish for lack of knowledge. When you aren't taught, you don't understand these things. That's the purpose of having good teachers. Although when you receive the Holy Spirit will be your primary, number one, foremost teacher, because the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God, and he will relay to you the mind and the thoughts of God. And so in 16, it says they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, but they were willing to be baptized in the Holy Spirit because Peter and John explained it to them. And so in verse 17, when Peter and John laid hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. Well, this goes back to a scripture in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, when the Pharisees were coming out to John the Baptist at the Jordan River, and the Pharisees were coming, and John spoke to them when they came, and he said, bring forth fruits according to repentance. He said, who told you to come out here? Bring forth fruits according to repentance. And so he said, I baptize you with water for repentance, But there is one coming after me, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so he was speaking about Jesus Christ. Jesus was coming after John. John was the forerunner. John was the forerunner of the message and the forerunner of the Messiah. And when Jesus came on to the scene, then John said, I must diminish or I must fade away, and he will become greater, and he will be greater. And so the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then John prophesied it. It was going to come through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the baptizer, and he baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And when you get that Holy Spirit baptism, you know you have it, because the gifts of the Holy Spirit come with it. You go back to the prophecy in Joel that we studied a couple of weeks ago, Joel 2:28, and my spirit will be poured out on all mankind. And my sons and my daughters will prophesy. My old men will dream dreams. My young men will see visions. Even my maidservants and my manservants, that is the slaves and the laborers, they will prophesy also. And so Joel said the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out. And it was poured out on the day of Pentecost, second chapter of Acts. Read that chapter over and over if you're not familiar with it. And a mighty rushing wind, tongues of fire, came on these people in Jerusalem. And they were all baptized with the Holy Spirit. And they heard the gospel message being preached to them by these Galileans and people from other nations. They heard them preach to them the gospel message in their own indigenous native language. And so in verse 17, Peter and John laid their hands on these people here in Samaria, and they all received the Holy Spirit. Well, this sorcerer was watching, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered the apostles money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Well, beloved, it's not quite that simple. You can't just purchase the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You can't purchase the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can't purchase the fire of the Holy Spirit. You can't purchase the mind of Christ. You have to study God's word. You can't purchase anything in the kingdom of God. When Peter and John started to minister to the lame person in Acts chapter 4, the person asked first for money, and Peter said to him, "Silver and gold have we none, or have I none, but what I give to you, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." And so it's still that way today. People think that their money is going to save them. People think if they're very wealthy and they're a good person, they're going to be saved. They've got a ticket into heaven. No, your money can't save you. It doesn't matter how much you give to the pastor. It doesn't matter how much you give to a mission or to a church. If your heart isn't right, if you've never confessed and repented and received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you then are not saved. You need to repent. You need to confess. You need to get down on your knees and do business with the Lord. It's great to give. Things of the gospel, ministries of the gospel need money. But if you are not doing it out of the right motive, if you think you're purchasing your ticket to heaven through your giving, you're not doing it out of the right motive. The Lord loves a cheerful giver, and I hope you're a cheerful giver. But more than anything else, I hope you're saved. That is the primary purpose for this radio broadcast. I hope you are saved, and that from this day forward, you know with assurance where you will spend eternity. And so Simon, he thinks he can buy the power and the obedience and the anointing of these apostles. Well, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, the anointing comes from obedience. I have seen signs, wonders, and miracles in Africa. I've seen them in America. But the anointing through this ministry comes through obedience. I didn't purchase it from anybody, and I'm not going to purchase the anointing in the future from anybody either. It comes through obedience. It comes through sacrifice. It comes through sacrificial giving. People don't understand what I have given up to receive the anointing and the ministry that God has given me. And so you have to be willing to give up. Jesus said, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and carry it daily. For he who loses his life for my sake will gain it, but he who gains or keeps his life will lose it. And so you have to give up to receive the blessings and the anointing, that 30, 60, and 100-fold blessing. You have to give up, and you have to continually sacrifice to keep going higher in the kingdom. Well, Peter scolds this sorcerer. He said, your money will perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money, and you have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. And so he tells him to repent, and so the man repents, and then he goes on his way with Philip, continuing to preach the gospel in Samaria. Well, Philip, in verse 26, this is the second salvation that is very astounding and very beautiful. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, arise and go toward the south, down to Gaza, and this is desert. And so he arose and he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury. This man had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning, and he was sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Well, Philip sees him, and he hears him reading. Verse 32, the place in the scripture with which he read was, he was led as a sheep to slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent, and he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. Who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Well, this is from Isaiah chapter 53, the story of Jesus going to the cross, the crucifixion. And this is what this Ethiopian eunuch is reading as he's sitting in his chariot, and as he is sitting and contemplating, what do these words mean? And so he says to Philip, how can I understand these words? Somebody has to tell me what they mean. Somebody has to teach me. And so Philip, who had seen Jesus and been with Jesus in Jerusalem, and so Philip then opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Verse 35, now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And so Philip has led this man just by sitting with him for a while, explaining scripture to him. This man was asking God for a supernatural encounter, and God gave him one with an evangelist named Philip. Beloved, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you ask God, God, reveal to me what you want me to do regarding my salvation. Reveal to me. Open a door. Open a window for me that I can see into the spirit realm. Open a window for me. Open a door. Send somebody here to teach me, to speak to me. And just as this radio broadcast is speaking to you today, if you're sincere in your heart, God will give you revelation. He will give you understanding. He will give you a peace that you're on the right track, and a peace that you know what you're doing has eternal consequences for your life. And so if you'll do that, then the Lord will open a door for you to come to know him. The Lord will touch you. The Holy Spirit will come. The Holy Spirit will baptize you with fire. And so when you do that, you will know for certain where you're going to spend your eternal life. And so Philip says to the Ethiopian eunuch, if you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so he commanded the chariot to stand still. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized that eunuch. And when it came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Well, I love this message, beloved, because it shows how suddenly something can happen, shows how suddenly things can change in a person's life, and I've seen it over here in Africa many, many times because we preached many crusades. I've seen Muslims come to know the Lord Jesus because suddenly the Holy Spirit pierced them. They invited in the Spirit of the living God, and it didn't matter what kind of clothing they had, didn't matter what their background was, what their family situation was. When you get touched by the Holy Spirit and that Spirit convicts you of your sin and you know you need a Savior, you know that your life will never be the same unless you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so when you come to that point and you know that you have to make a decision, then you're in the valley of decision. The same thing that we talked about last week with Saul's conversion. The valley of decision is when that pressure comes in on you, and somebody listening to me today, this message is touching you in a way that you know you have to make a decision. That pressure is coming in on you. You're not going to sleep well until you say yes to Jesus. You're not going to have peace because you know that you need to say yes to Jesus. And so I encourage you, beloved, if that's you today and you're feeling that conviction, you're feeling that pressure, say yes to Jesus because he will transform your life. You don't have to clean yourself up before you come to Jesus. He will clean you up, and you can be assured that he will transform your life. Your prophetic destiny is such that your greatest days are ahead of you. And so when you come to that place where you know that you are saved and that your best days are still ahead and that there is a mansion being built for you in heaven, then you can truly have peace and fulfillment here on this earth. And so that is my charge to you today. Find a place where you can be baptized. Find a church that practices immersion baptism. Get in a good Bible-believing church, and you will rest assured that your salvation is forever and ever. Amen. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that, and we hope you enjoy these messages. We'd like to see you help support this ministry, not only for the radio broadcast, but for the mission in Africa, build that school, and all the things that we've done here. We invite you to partner with us. Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. That's Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. You can make a donation with your debit card on PayPal, paypal.me/gatheroutcast. That's paypal.me/gatheroutcast. Check us out on Facebook at Facebook Jim Rao, and we'd love to hear from you today. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.